Welcome to Conestoga 10, podcast number 14, part 2 for July 25th, 2006. Welcome back. And now for part 2 on how to program a convention. Here is Melissa Tatum with the conclusion.
The first time or two that you do programming, you need a solid week of 8-hour days to make sure that you get everything done and get it all processed correctly. And it needs to be fairly contiguous time. If you break it up too much, there's a lot of start, stop, restart time, trying to figure out where you were when you left off. So it needs to be pretty condensed time that you undertake the actual putting the schedule together. So give yourself a week, especially if you're just doing it in the evenings while you work on another job. Give yourself a full week or 5, 6, maybe 8 days to put this together. When all the programming questionnaires come in and you need to put the schedule together, there are several things to keep in mind. The first thing you need to keep in mind is the balance of what's happening at each time slot. Keep in mind that you've got your main programming events. These are your guest of honor talks, your guest of honor readings, big major events. So you've got your main programming events. You need to make sure you have things that are of interest to general fans, things that are of interest to writers, because there are inevitably at any convention people that want stuff about how to sell a novel, how to sell their short story, where to go next, how the market works, panels for artists. And if you have a costuming or a gaming con, you'll want to make sure that you have costuming and gaming panels available as well. So once you have that balance, you want to make sure that you don't have all the art panels happening at the same time, all the writing techniques panels happening at the same time. Make sure there's a balance within each time slot. But at the same time, you need to be aware of how many people are expected to attend your convention. If you have a 1,500-person convention, you can have 6-8 tracks of paneling happening at one time. If you have a 500-person convention, you don't really want more than 5 tracks of programming happening at any one time, because you're just going to dilute your audience too much. There's nothing more disheartening than having more panelists than audience. You always want more audience butts in the chairs, more audience rear ends in the chair than you have rear ends up at the front, than you have people sitting up at the front of the room doing the panel. Otherwise, it just gets a little awkward for everyone involved. So you want to make sure you have that adequate balance of plenty of stuff happening for people to find what they're interested in, but at the same time, not so much that you're diluting your audience. You will want to make sure you space out what's happening for the main guests so that you have something happening with main guests equally on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday between readings and signings and interviews and all those sorts of stuff. Keep those evenly spaced out to keep things moving in main programming. And make sure you have all the guests scheduled for a signing and, if you can, a reading. There are a number of ways to approach readings. You can do them as sampler tracks with three people splitting up an hour. You can give each people 30-minute readings. It's very rare con now that gives anyone but main guests an hour reading. There just simply isn't enough time to allocate that much time to one particular guest. If you have 72 guests, 80 guests, as we often do at Conestoga, you can't give them all an hour reading because there simply aren't that many hours available in the weekend. So once you've prepared the schedule and you have a good balance, that's when you want to contact the guests with the draft schedule. You'll want to give them the draft schedule and their personal schedule. You want to have the schedule done, a rough draft of the schedule done, 5 to 6 weeks out. So you can contact the guests, send them their schedule, and they have a chance to say, oh, wait, my travel plans have changed, or, oh, wait, now I have my schedule, I can get a good deal on an airplane flight because I know when I need to be there. I know what arrangements to make for work, to drive. They need to know what their schedule is so they can make their travel plans and start preparing for the panel, because your good guests will do a little research, will make sure that they are up to speed. If you've assigned them to be on a panel about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and they've only seen 2 episodes, they'll go check out a set of DVDs from the video store and watch some more episodes so they know who the characters are and what's going on. And you need to give them time to do that. What you really need to make sure you do, and this is where Conestoga has acquired its reputation over the last 10 years, is we make sure the guests have their schedule in hand about 4 to 6 weeks before the convention. That allows them to know what's going on, what they're going to be expected to do, and to make their travel plans, because we have a lot of guests fly in. And this way they can beat those 21-day advance fares to make sure that they have a flight that is working around their schedule. That's what makes a convention a success. This is what gets you the really good word of mouth among the guests, is making sure they know in advance what panels they have. As I've sold a couple of short stories, I have been a guest at a couple of conventions. All conventions end up working out. They end up doing a good job because all volunteers pull it together at the last minute. But there are times that it's very frustrating to not know what your schedule is until 3 days before you arrive at the convention. Because if you're a new guest, if you don't know whether you're moderating, you don't know what kind of reading structure it's going to be, you don't know what to bring, you don't know what time you need to be there, it's a 6-hour drive for you, you know, do you need to take off at noon, can you work until 3? If you don't know when you're expected to be on a panel doing your job at the convention, then it's just a little frustrating. So the sooner you can have the schedule in hand to the guests. And 4 to 6 weeks out is as early as you want to have it, because otherwise you're just going to have to do too many revisions. But if you can get it in their hands 4 to 6 weeks early, that's the mark of a professional convention. That's the mark of a well-run convention, that's going to get repeat guests and is going to have more guests asking to come to the convention to do work for you. When you put the schedule together, you need to communicate several things to the guests. First off, they need a copy of the complete schedule so they can see how all the parts fit together. And you will inevitably have panels that are not fully staffed. And so this way the guests know which panels they want to volunteer to take on. But you also need to make sure that you send the guest a copy of their personal schedule. What are the panels they are on? Each particular person, so they don't have to hunt and peck through pages of schedules to make sure they find their name everywhere that it's listed. You need to do that work for them. Give your guests a week or two, then this is the last part of section 3. Give your guests a week or two to, if you're doing electronic communication, longer if you're doing written communication through the U.S. Postal Service. Give them a week or two to respond to say, oh, I have a problem with this. I'm not sure I want to be on this panel. Could I be on that panel instead? Once you've ironed out some of those issues with your schedule, post it on your convention's website. Let people know at least 3 to 4 weeks out what's going to be happening at your convention. You can always put a disclaimer at the top that says this is subject to change without notice, which you do want to let people know that, because you will be changing your schedule up to and including the day of the convention itself, because guests will have emergencies or change of plans. Things will happen, cars will break down, flights will get canceled, and you're going to have to make adjustments. Someone will show up and say, hi, I'm a member of CEFWA, and I know there was a convention here in town. I told you I couldn't come, but it turned out just yesterday I could come after all. Can I be a guest? And your response is, absolutely, we're thrilled you're here. Let me find you one or two panels. These are what I have available, and here's the time for you to have a signing. Always be flexible. So realize that your schedule is going to change up to and including at the convention itself. But still, about a month before the convention, you're started, whoever's doing your contacting, your mail outs to your general attendees, will need to know more what the schedule is. Those attendees will be checking the website, are going to want to know when their favorite author's speaking, when their favorite author's signing, if they can only come for 4 hours at the convention, which 4 hours are those going to be. So you want to make sure that you have that information available. The fourth major time period for programming is at the convention itself. And there are basically four parts of the convention itself that I want to talk about. The first one is to make sure you have a welcome packet available for your guests, ready for your guests when they arrive. The welcome packet should be at the registration desk with each guest's name on it. That should include a copy of their personal schedule, a copy of the program book, a copy of the pocket program, a welcome letter from you as programming chair, and information about your green room and the hours of your green room. It should also let them know, the guests know, any particular information about your logistics staff or contacting you or anything like that that you need to let them know specific to your convention itself. If you have panels happening in two buildings, make sure they have a map, make sure they know how the room numbers work, all that sorts of basic stuff so they can find their way around. So the welcome packet is the first part. The second part is the green room itself. It is important to have a green room at a convention. A green room is a place for the guests to come and no one but the guests to come in. It is a place for the guests to arrange meetings, to talk about getting ready for a panel, to coordinate what they want to say, to simply have some quiet time, to chat with each other without fans constantly coming up and interrupting. When authors at our convention, they are basically on almost all the time. They have to be public face all the time. The green room is not an opportunity for them to take 10 or 15 minutes, come get something to drink, come to get a snack, and to make sure they have a little quiet time to get their mindset before they do a reading, to change their mindset before they go in and do a panel, and make sure that they're prepared to do their job, because all guests want to do a good job for the convention. And in the green room, as I mentioned, you do want to, or as I alluded to, you want to make sure that you have food and drink. You want to make sure in your convention budget that there is money for snacks and drinks for the guests. You don't have to supply full meals, but you need to have a wide variety, not just candy. Make sure you have granola bars, fruit. Make sure you have carbonated beverages and water, bottled water. Make sure you have tea. Make sure you have coffee. Make sure you have everything available to go with coffee, such as milk and sugar and all that sorts of stuff. Just make sure that they can come in and get something to drink and something to snack on between meals to keep their energy up and to keep them moving and working for you. And that's little enough to do considering the money that most guests are paying to come work for you. The third part of the convention itself is to make sure you have purchased guest of honor gift. It is customary at opening ceremonies, sometimes at closing, but usually at opening ceremonies, to present each of your main guests, each of your guest of honors, with a gift. It can be something funny, it can be something serious, it can be something inexpensive, it can be something more expensive, just something memorable to say thank you for coming to Conestoga. Conestoga, we usually have three parts to the guest gift. We usually have something serious to say thank you. Since we're in Oklahoma, that often takes the form of some kind of Indian pottery or Indian jewelry. We usually have something fun and silly and trinkety. The last few years, for example, we've gotten little tornadoes in a bottle. You swirl them up and it makes a little tornado. Since our convention is in July in Oklahoma, which is in the middle of Tornado Alley. And then I often get autographed dogs. And in fact, autographed dogs have been a staple at Conestoga over the last 6 years, so that the guests can, and I supply the autographed dog, which I can get, you can get from the Oriental Trading Company, and some Sharpies so that they can go around collecting a memory of their time at Conestoga. So just something like that. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. It doesn't have to be something expensive, but it needs to be a thank you for coming to work for us and being a draw and helping make our convention a success and keeping our convention in existence for another year. Those are the four major, the fourth thing I need to say about the convention itself is to be available and be visible. I usually make my base of operations in the green room, so the guests always know where they can find me. I always make sure that I have a cell phone or a walkie-talkie available so that people can reach me in case there's a problem with logistics in a room, in case the guests need to reach me because there's either an emergency or a question, or they need pens at the autographing table, they need an autographing table where the autographing is supposed to be, all those sorts of little things. And you can, this is, the programming chair does not have to be the person on site 24/7. You can have staff members available to do that. But you need to make sure that whoever the point person is, your guests can find them and recognize them when they have questions. Because that is what makes the convention a success, is the preparation in advance and then being there at the convention and being flexible to deal with situations as they arise. And I would say the two hallmarks of a well-run convention are that flexibility and that communication. Communication with the guests, with the fans, with the CONCOM. Let me just give one example from a few years ago at Conestoga that sort of rolls both the communication and the flexibility together. I was relatively new to programming. I'd only been doing it for a couple of years. And I had decided that we were having a critical mass of people involved in a fencing in the Cephal Musketeers were going to be at Conestoga. So I asked them if they would do a Cephal Musketeers demonstration for us, and they kindly agreed. But in doing that, I miscalculated because I had never actually seen the full demonstration. I had only seen a scaled-down version of it at a small convention. I miscalculated how much space they needed. And when it came time that morning, I had sort of blocked out an hour in the room in advance to make sure we got it set up right. When we were looking at the setup in advance, we realized they needed more space. So what I was able to do is I only had two other panels happening at the same time. I was able to contact the moderators of those two panels, move those to another paneling room that I had available. I had space to move them, and I had someone working on putting big prominent signs up everywhere around the hallway so that all the fans looking for those panels knew where to find them. We had the hotel open the air wall, and then we had to get the dance floor up from the night before because it was too slippery and it was a hazard to the fencers. And so even the con chair was in there helping the hotel disassemble the floor. But we all pitched in, we were all flexible, and the demonstration was a huge success. For 2 or 3 years after that, we had people commenting on how much they enjoyed it. Things went very smoothly and very well. And the audience, the fans, never knew how frantic that hour beforehand was, making sure everything got rearranged and set up properly. But we were flexible, we got it done, we signposted the change in the rooms, we contacted all the guests about their switching of their panel space, and everyone understood what had happened. And because we were flexible and we communicated, everybody was more than willing to cooperate, and all three panels were a big success. So that's the key to being a good programming chair: flexibility and communication. If you have any questions, you can check our Conestoga website. Our programming information will be available for the Conestoga 10, which is, I record this, is going to happen at the end of July in about 2 months. And that is www.sftulsa.org, www.sftulsa.org. And you can also contact the programming chair. We have a programming email address there on the website that you can use to contact me to ask me any questions. This is actually the last year that I will be doing programming, at least for a while, at Conestoga. I am more than happy to answer questions, but we might also direct those to our incoming programming chair. And I'm sure she will also have questions of me. But 6 years is a very long time to do programming. And because flexibility and communication is key, and avoiding burnout is perhaps the other key, it's time for me to take a couple of years off. So anyway, good luck with programming. If you are going to take over the programming chair, it is a very rewarding job. It is a very fun job. I have gotten to know a number of authors that I've read their works and enjoyed for years. And I'm now on a first-name basis with them. I've found new authors and working with guests and going, this is a neat person. I wonder what their writing is like. I very much enjoyed it. So I highly recommend the programming chair job, but you do have to be a very organized person, a very patient person, and have very clear lines of communication. Good luck with programming. And if you're just interested in how programming works, I hope this was helpful, and I'm also happy to answer questions for you. And we hope to see you at Conestoga. Thank you.
Programming is a lot of hard work, but it can be a very rewarding experience. As Melissa said at the beginning, this is her last year as programming chair. She is passing on the torch and her wisdom into the capable hands of Elspeth Bloodgood. We hope that you found our podcast series entertaining and informative, and we welcome any feedback regarding them. We will be recording podcasts at the convention, and those will be released on a regular schedule after the convention. And when it comes time for Conestoga 11, we'll be bringing you podcasts for the lead-in up to it. You may find our schedule of interviews and panels in the Pocket Program on the website. I'm Chris Merling, your podcast host. Looking forward to seeing you all at Conestoga 10. For more information, our web address is www.sftulsa.org, or send an email to conestoga@sftulsa.org. Questions about our podcast may be sent to podcast@sftulsa.org. Thank you for listening.